Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where Pastor Dave talks about how we have a Father in heaven that loves us and wants to listen to us as we pray and pour out our hearts to him, because he cares for us. Let's join Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 6 as he preaches a message entitled, That Settles It.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, for this place. Lord, we are so delighted to be in your presence because in your presence is fullness of joy. There's nothing in this world, God, that gives us joy the way that you do. And we are grateful, God, that you have come to meet with us. We've come to meet with you, but even greater so, you have come to meet with us. And we ask you to just soften our hearts, give us ears to hear, Lord, to receive what you have for us this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us fresh insights and understanding as we learn more of how you want us to pray, how you want us to approach your throne of grace. Ready us to come to the Lord's table this morning. Minister to our hearts now, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. So what we'll do here is, if you don't mind, we'll read together, you guys two, out loud through this whole prayer, okay? And then we will go through here and just meditate on these opening words, okay? So if you don't mind, let's read this together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Did you feel like you were in a Catholic church? Me too. Listen, Martin Luther said this concerning this very prayer. He said, and I quote, "The Lord's Prayer is the greatest martyr on earth, because it is used so frequently without thought or feeling and without reverence or faith," close quote. I kind of like that, because even as we're chanting it together, I honestly wasn't even paying attention to what I was reading, which is bad when you're the teacher. I was sort of getting lost in just the chant of the congregation. And so many of times when something is familiar to you, it breeds contentment. You do. You lose all of it. You lose reverence of it. It's not as spectacular to you as it should be. Listen, this prayer should be spectacular to us. This is a prayer that Jesus not only taught once, but twice, when his disciples, within 2 years from Matthew 6, they come to him again and they say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." You know, of all the things they could have said, "Lord, teach us to do, walk on water," that's a pretty neat trick. "Can you teach us that one?" Or, "Teach us how to preach a sermon," or "How to make food fall from the sky like you did back in Exodus." I mean, they, of all the things they could have came and asked for a lesson on, they said, "Lord, would you teach us how to pray?" And he essentially, in Luke 11, reiterates this very prayer. It's not that he wants us to pray this prayer in the exact detail that it's laid out before us, but this is a pattern for us. This is a template for us. This is a flavor or a formula as to how God wants his children to come before him. And when you look at it that way, it's really insightful and honestly delightful, because what he says here is tremendous. Out of all of the words that he can open up with by, you know, saying and going to the throne of God, I mean, it could be our King. It could be our Majesty. It could be our Creator. You know, I mean, there are a lot of words that you could ascribe to God, right? I mean, there are a lot of things that would justly fit there, that would make sense. But I think if there was any other word used than this, it loses the intimacy that God wants to have with his people so severely. I mean, because there's no greater word that could be used that indicates intimacy and love than our Father. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I don't know what your experience is here on this side of eternity and what your relationship with Dad has been like, if there is even one. In a culture like today, a lot of folks don't have a dad in their lives. But they're supposed to be, let me say that, they're supposed to be great intimacy. All love flows from a father's love for his son, Father God, his son Jesus Christ. So really, there is no greater love than a dad's love. And we talked about that in greater detail last week. And it's a wonderful truth. He's our dad if we are in Jesus Christ. So To be proper, when we pray to Father God through Jesus, the Son of God, okay? He is the only one that we can go to God's throne through. Not Mary, not saints, not me, not anyone. Only through Jesus Christ do we go to Father God, his throne. Amen? So when Jesus is your Savior, he becomes your big brother, not your father. A lot of people pray, oh, Jesus, Father God. No, Jesus is not Father God. Jesus is big brother. Because we are now in his family and his dad becomes our dad. Okay, very important to understand. That's how we pray. We pray through the name of Jesus to Father God. Now, if it stayed our Father, that would be wonderful because it's such a loving truth. But why I titled this morning's message, That Settles It, is because what I read next after our Father is incredibly settling to me. He says, our Father, which art in heaven. I mean, you collaborate those two phrases, and that's dynamic, right? I mean, it settles me. It settles me in several ways. I've summed them up like this. The first of three is this. It settles me relationally with God. It settles me relationally with God, my relationship with God, because not only is he my dad, which is great, it indicates love. It indicates me being able to rely upon him. But he's also my dad that's in heaven. So not just reliability, but reverence. Not just love, but power, because my dad's in heaven. So no matter what I've got going on in this life, no matter what it is that touches me or concerns me or is a part of me, I've got a father who is in heaven. I got a dad who not only loves me so fiercely, but I got a dad who is almighty, all-powerful, all-able, because he's in heaven. You understand that this morning? So, like, I love my children with all the love that I have. I've never known a love like this before. Honestly, I love my wife, I love my parents, I love my siblings, I love you here. I love unbelievers. I really love a lot of things. I love food, I love sports. I mean, there's a lot of things that I love. But the way that I love my kids is painful, honestly. Moms and dads, isn't it true? I mean, my third child here in age is getting ready for kindergarten this week, and I'm a mess. Honest. I mean, I'm a mess. I'm at orientation Thursday night at his school, and the teacher doesn't know us, and we're talking to her. It's just, yeah, it's always hard to see them go to kindergarten. And, you know, especially when it's the first one. I said, no, it's not the first one. Well, it's still hard with the second one, too. No, it's not the second one. And then she said, well, what is wrong with you? There's more than two? It's the third one. And she said, it's the third and you're still feeling, well, it's because it's your baby. I said, no, it's not the baby. I've got another one, you know, coming. I'm still just, I love it to see my kids grow up and just to become these little people. It's painful because you love them so much and you want them to stay small and close to you and just in your control and in your sight and all these other things. And the love that I have for my kids hurts. I love them so fiercely, but there's a limit to my ability to help them do things and not do things. I'm not all powerful. My son thinks that I am. He feels my muscle. He tells me, oh, daddy, it feels like a rock. And it feeds my ego. I keep flexing until I burst veins and blood vessels. And he just keeps, I feel my arm. I'm enjoying it because in a few years, he'll be flexing his saying, you're a chump, dad. You know, I'm bigger than you. Yesterday, we were at my sister-in-law's house. And my one brother-in-law created a homemade slip and slide with his pool liner. So the kids are taking soap and they're pouring it all over their body and they're sliding down the hill. And I'm at the top of the hill there at their house and talking about very important spiritual things about fantasy football and things like that. And I'm standing there at my brother-in-law and I'm drinking my pop, I'm talking, I'm laughing. All of a sudden, I hear my son start screaming frantically. I mean, I hear, you know, there's like 10 kids playing, but you know your kids cry. You even know which kid it is because, I mean, that's the way that you love your children. And my son doesn't cry. I've only heard him cry like this maybe once or twice before. Once when he cut his eye open and had stitches and one other time when Olivia knocked him out almost. But anyways, moving on, he's crying frantically and he's not telling me what's going on. He's just screaming, holding on to his stomach. So, I mean, my other brother-in-law is at the bottom of the hill. He brings him to me and I'm trying to settle them, and I don't know what you do, but I just start praying when I don't know how to hear what they're saying or understand what they're saying. So I just start praying over them. But this goes on for like 3-4 minutes, really long minutes when this is happening. And I can't settle him. All he's doing, he's just holding his stomach. So I'm thinking, man, his appendix burst. Or I'm thinking, that's my personality. I'm going like worst case scenario. I'm thinking, I got to get this guy to the hospital or something. I don't know what's wrong with him. He's screaming and screaming. It's the worst feeling because as fiercely as I love him, my love is not all powerful. So I can't do anything to stop the screaming. I can't do anything but hold him as he's screaming. I can't fix the screaming. My love is limited because my power is limited, so I can't alleviate him or help him or do anything but just be there and be helpless next to him as he's helpless. And why he was screaming is because a wasp had stung him right above his belly button. The stinger was stuck in his right in the flap of his belly button. I had to pull it out and put mud on that. That's what you're supposed to do, and it extracts the poison, the stinger. But I didn't know that for like 10, 15 minutes. He's just going nuts. And man, the Lord just revealed to me, you are limited in your love because you don't have all the power like I do. Our Father, which art in heaven, that is the most beautiful collaboration ever of a title that can be ascribed to God, because the love is there, all the love that I have for my son when he gets stung by a bee and that you have for your kid when things happen to them. But then there's this companionship with the love of, he's in heaven. I mean, that makes your dad really, really strong. That makes your dad, that makes your God, that makes your Father really, really powerful and able. So no matter what you've got going on in your life, which kind of leads me to my second point of settlement in this topic this morning, no matter what you've got going on in your life, your Father, your dad, is in heaven. I mean, side by side, that's dynamic. Amen? So it settles me personally, relationally with God, but also settles me in my relationship to this earth, to this world that I'm in, that is spiraling out of control day by day, getting worse and worse, more evil and more evil. It seems like there's bad news all around everywhere. Everywhere you go, every news station you watch, there's bad news, there's bad news, there's bad news. But I have a Father that is in heaven. And that is really special to me. Because that then means this, if he's in heaven, then he's outside of time, space, and matter. Time, space, and matter is what constitutes this universe that we are stuck in. Our lives are ruled and governed by time, space, and matter. I mean, that's just the truth. It's almost noon, so everybody's stomachs are telling them. It's almost time for lunch. Time tells us so. We're hungry. I mean, that's how it goes. We're governed by time, space, and matter. But I got a dad who's outside of it all. And he's in glory beholding the world in his hand that I live in. Because Colossians 1:17 says that all things exist in his hands. He holds the whole, he's the glue, he holds the whole world together, literally. So if this be true, and it is, if this be the case, and my dad is in heaven and he's outside of all of this, that then means he can see what I can't see. And he can hear what I can't hear. And he can know what I can't know because he's bigger than this thing that we call life. Now, let me be clear to you. There are three realms in Scripture referenced to as heaven. There is the realm of the first heaven, which is the atmosphere, the world that we live in. There's a spiritual realm all around us. I mean, you probably felt that battle to get here this morning with the demonic spiritual realm. That's what that is when you're trying to get to church. But there's this spiritual realm all around us. And that kind of leads us into the troposphere, into outer space, which is like 20 miles up above Earth. It leads you to that second heaven, outer space, into the stratosphere, where our solar system is, the planets, the galaxies, the stars, things that we can still see, but they're so far off. If you were outside last night, man, you can see those stars just blinging in the sky. Just the majesty of God. The moon last night was incredible. Did anybody get to see the moon? Gorgeous last night. Such a clear, beautiful night to see God's creation. That is called the second heaven. Now, let me make sure that I cover my bases. There are no references to the first and second heaven in Scripture, but there is the third heaven. And I didn't go to college, but I did figure out if there's a third heaven, there must be a first and second heaven, right? And it is described as that when you look at the language in Scripture. There are different references to the different realms of heaven. Then there's the third heaven. The heaven that is beyond it all that we can see. And that is where the throne of Father God is. That is where the presence of God is. The presence of God, the author of Hebrews says, is heaven. And he's out there beyond what we can see or behold with our naked human eyes, holding this whole globe of fire in his hands. That's really comforting this morning. So if I stop and consider these things in my prayer life, that I'm going to my Father that's in heaven, not just personally, relationally, but universally, He holds all of this that I can see and that I can see all together in His hand. That really does my soul well when I pray. It gives me perspective. It gives me the ability to breathe. It settles me. Doesn't it settle you? That no matter what it is that I'm facing or what I'm up against or what this world is going through, my dad is in heaven, beholding and holding onto this earth. Now you want to get crazy. Here's the most crazy thing of it all. Solomon says in 1 Kings chapter 8, I think it's verse 27, he says this, the heaven and the heavens of heavens can't contain him. So he's there in glory, but he's not contained by that glory. He's not contained by that throne. He's not stuck there distant from us, because then he's our God that's in heaven. He's afar off. He's sterile. He's distant. He's cold. But he's our dad that's in heaven. So as much as he is all powerful and all able and almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, almighty, amazing God, he's also near and he's close because he's Father. And through his Son, he takes residence in our lives. And in the space that we fill, he's here among us. Because he's able to do that. You don't know anybody who's able to be in all places at once. You don't know everybody who's able to see everything going on at once or hear everything at once. I mean, the closest person to that is your mother, right? Your mother has eyes on all side parts of her head, back, sides, front, everywhere. She can see all things. That's what moms do. But Father God really can. We could all stop this service right now and have a time of prayer. We can join the whole country. We could join the whole world in a time of prayer, different languages, different tribes, different tongues. And we can begin to cry out to God, whatever it is that's on our hearts. And Father can hear and decipher whose voice is whose. Almighty, amazing God, Father that is in heaven, settles me personally. It settles me earthly as I live in this crazy world. And it settles me eternally. Here's why, because the Father did this. The Father, all that he has and all that he enjoys, he gave to his Son. He put it in his Son. And if we have come to Christ, he's put us in Christ. So everything that the Father gave to his Son concerning the heavens and the glory and the splendor and the majesty of it all, he is then given to us as his adopted children because we are in Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? That settles me. That settles me. That brings a peace to my soul, to my being. Jesus would say this in John chapter 14. After Peter, who most of you love so much, made this audacious statement that, Lord, wherever you go, I will follow you. I'll go down fighting with you. I'm a scrapper, Lord. I got my sword here. I'm ready to brawl. If they come for you and they arrest you like you say they're going to do, I'm going to be right by your side. And Jesus says, oh, no, you're not, Peter. You're going to fail, and you're going to fail miserably. You're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times before the cock crows, man. You're going to have a mess of a night. In other words, it's not going to be because of your valiant, victorious efforts and your endeavor to be my companion in this battle that's going to usher you into glory, but rather it's because of what I'm going to do for you and all of the world. Therefore, concerning heaven and getting into heaven, let not your hearts be troubled. John 14, that's what Jesus says. That's the context of it. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says. You believe in God, believe also in me. We're one of the same. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he says this, listen, in verse 2, I would have told you. I would have told you if this was all hocus pocus nonsense. But it's truth. You can be settled concerning your eternity because your Father that's in heaven has put heaven in me, and I am accepting you and me as my beloved, so therefore heaven is yours eternally. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you so. And because it is true, he says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I read these verses in the context of what we're studying in Matthew 6 this morning, and I think this is insane. Because my Father that's in heaven isn't going to just give me heaven as it is when I enter into eternity's shores. He's got something incredibly brand new in the works. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where is he going to prepare it? In heaven. Isn't heaven our end destination? Yes, but not the heavens that we know now. A new heaven, Revelation 21 says. The heavens as we know it now, the atmosphere, the troposphere, the stratosphere, beyond all that we can see, it's all going to be gone and done away with, and the earth too. And a new heaven that Jesus is building right now. The new city of Jerusalem is going to descend, and that is where we're going to be forevermore. That's amazing. That's settling. As I go through this crazy world, as the doctor calls and gives me the prognosis, as I endure whatever changes that come my way, or whatever life throws my way, however you want to term it, as I go through this grind that can be so painful at times, as I go through, I can know this: my Father is in heaven, and He gave His Son heaven, and I'm in His Son, so heaven is mine, and that's what awaits me for all my days. And it's a place, according to our ability to understand, that isn't even in existence yet. He's still building it. He's still customing it with your face in mind, thinking as He builds this place, oh, how this person is going to enjoy what I'm going to do here. Oh, how they're going to enjoy this little touch that I'm going to put on their permanent abode. I'm going to do this little thing, just this little flair here, just to make this person smile, just to rock this person's socks off. Man, I'm going to do this over here. I'm building a custom place for my people for their final destination, settling. Settling. Our Father that's in heaven. So that means that I'm going to go to heaven. That then means, like Peter, if I fail, not that we're making light of failing, but it's okay. If I fail, it's expected. Jesus told Peter he was going to fail before he failed. He knows about your failings before you actually fail, and yet He still chooses you, loves you, accepts you, puts up with you, saves you all the way home. That means that I can't jeopardize what's ahead of me. That means that I can't mess it up or ruin it. It means that my Father that's in heaven entrusted it to Jesus, and I'm in Jesus. He's entrusted me to Him so that when I come to Him in prayer, it reminds me that I'm eternally secure.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.